Welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we're checking in with celebrities out and about. Mamma Mia, here we go again.
Yeah.
Yes. And fans shouting rude stuff at people.
Why not?
Before I get into the show, this very exciting show, let's take a quick break.
A secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it with my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Okay, Tea Time is checking in with celebrities out and about, and I love whoever titled this category. We're really checking in with, like, basically what we missed with the VMAs and the Met Gala, which have happened since we last recorded. So let's start with the VMAs. What did we miss top line, Kate?
Oh, this is so not top line, but, you know, it's very Tea Time core. Megan Fox was at the VMAs with Machine Gun Kelly, and this is old news. I'm sure you've all seen it by now. But Conor McGregor was also there, and there was like a scuffle on the red carpet because no one quite can decide why it happened. There were some rumors that it had to do with Megan Fox and something Conor McGregor said. Mm. Then there was like, people were like, actually, no, Machine Gun Kelly wanted to take a picture. Somebody wanted to take a picture with someone else. People couldn't decide who wanted to take a picture with who. Someone said no. There was a scuffle. And then I think it kind of has come back to like Machine Gun Kelly was just starting shit. For no reason, which feels right.
Yeah.
But anyway, he tried to fight Conor McGregor, which is just an insane decision. And that was my first reaction. But then I was like, what if, like, who among us, if we were standing on the red carpet with Megan Fox, if she was like, babe, like, go pick a fight with Conor McGregor, like, to prove your love, like, who among us wouldn't be like, I'll try.
True.
You know?
Like, true.
Who wouldn't give it the old college try? Like, try to sneak up on him. I don't know.
But it didn't go anywhere, right? Like, the quote-unquote scuffle that everyone keeps writing about. I watched it.
It was like,
I
mean, it was very like, hold me back, hold me back. So it was just like people yelling stuff for the most part. It didn't really go anywhere thank goodness. I think Conor McGregor's hurt, so he probably could have still killed Machine Gun Kelly,
sure,
but
yeah.
But anyway, everyone was fine. No one quite knows why it happened, but I just wanted Megan Fox to know that like there are other people in this world, including myself, who would like try to fight Conor McGregor for
yeah,
you.
Definitely.
So like you have options.
Was the most interesting thing that happened on the VMA's red carpet. Otherwise the event was kind of so-so. In my opinion.
Yeah.
At least that was a tiny bit exciting. Amelia, what do you got?
I guess not to continue talking about them as in Megan Fox. See, I wish that Machine Gun Kelly and Conor McGregor would have like taken each other out.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have to like dealt
me too.
With them for,
me too.
For the rest of time. But we had Megan Fox and Kourtney Kardashian. You can tell all the sighing in my voice already. There's I think Machine Gun Kelly and Travis Barker like wrapped up the show with one of their dumb songs, and Megan Fox is like, okay, all right, it's our future baby daddies. And I'm just like, oh my God, like gross. Yeah. Just gross. But of course, I mean, you know, the moment went viral and that's what you really want out of all this. So.
So they took a picture together in the bathroom, right? Where they were like each making out with their respective gross men.
You know what I don't like is the tongue touching. That's a pose that they've frequently used in the last several months whenever they've been dating. Yeah. And it's just that the two tongues, which if you've ever done that with a person, it's pretty gross. Like it's not.
It's disgusting.
It's not sexy, not cute.
It's not hot. It's really gross. And they look gross doing it too. Sorry.
I swear, Kourtney and Travis are going to have a baby at some point. Like they are so in love. it's going to happen.
Yeah. Mark my words. Mm-hmm. How much longer do we think Megan Fox and Machine Gun will last? Will they last till the end of the year?
Amelia?
I think probably, yeah. I can see them like doing like a quick wedding and then breaking up like a year later.
Okay. I think they feel so infatuated with each other. It feels like sure. They got time left.
I think they'll last a while. I agree, unfortunately.
Yeah. Two more things from what we missed at the VMAs. Again, just like tea time core. But I want to give a shout out to Doja Cat, who hosted the VMAs.
Yes.
And did a hilarious kick-ass job. And did exactly what, if you hand the keys to Doja Cat to host an event, like what she would do with them. Like her quote-unquote opening monologue, she appeared to just like completely ignore the teleprompter. And just was like, if you like famous people, keep watching. And it was just like, that was basically it. And it was
I do.
Her outfits were fucking great. She went through five different outfits throughout the night. Obviously, one is making headlines where she looked like a worm, but she addressed and she's like, I look like a worm. That's dope. And it's just having fun, doesn't give a fuck. Was very hilarious. Wrapping up the entire event, she's like, wow, okay, bye. It's like what we would do if we were hosting the VMAs, which is not saying much. Yeah. And I just really enjoyed her presence.
She's so funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love, like, she wore like a chair on her head.
She
and
did.
I was like, okay.
And then her last look was like the bird feet. Did you see that one, Amelia? It was just wild. She took risks.
Oh my God. I love that. Yeah. I love
fascinating.
That. I also love, I think it was maybe in conjunction with the VMAs, kind of. It's like, you know, how Pepsi. Sometimes they really hit on a great ad, like the Britney Spears Pepsi ad from a long time ago. And then they, you know, the Kendall Jenner one wasn't as popular.
You win some, you lose some.
Yeah, exactly. But I think they won because she did a remake of You're the One That I Want from Grease. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun. And I loved watching it. And I was like, can I download this on like a Apple iTunes or something? Like, can I have this song?
You boomer. Gotta use Spotify, Amelia.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, my bad. Cut that.
Lastly, only because we have tracked this man over the years of tea time, quickly, Maude's son and Avril Lavigne are dating. Can't remember if we've discussed this before, but I don't love this pairing. Although, did I love Maude's son and Bella Thorne? Not really. So maybe I'm just like unsatisfied with him as a person.
Anti-mod.
But I guess I did a little research into them. She's working on a new album. They collaborated. That's how they met. Somewhere along the lines, they fell in love. They actually went on a double date, which I forgot, with Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. So they have been around a bit, but this was their red carpet debut. I just don't know about Maude's son. I think because we learned so much about him during his Bella Thorne relationship, just like now, I don't know. I want Avril Lavigne to be with someone else, even though her exes are like Nickelback, but regardless.
True.
I don't know. This was an interesting pairing, and I thought I would bring up Maude's son.
We'll keep an eye on it.
Okay. Next, Met Gala quickly. We know Jam Session covered it. And Kate, you want to plug your article on the site?
I did. I just did a winners and losers of the Met Gala. Talked through my faves, my not faves.
Hell yeah.
But one thing I did like, I'm trying to talk about things on the pod that I didn't talk about in the article. And one person that I think deserves a shout out is Kiki Palmer, who held down 4 hours of the Vogue live stream. She did it with Alana Glazer. Alana didn't really do much. It was mostly Kiki, who we love and adore here on Tea Time. And I just want to give her a shout out, first of all, for doing a great job. She like did not have a break. It was just constant talking to celebrities about their outfits, which is tough. And I love that she like is very clearly adored by a lot of celebrities. There were two in particular that just interrupted their entire interview to tell Kiki how much they loved her. First of all, Timothy Chalamet, who was a host for the night, obviously was supposed to talk about his hosting duties and his fashion with her, walked up and like fully interrupted his sentence and was like, you know, we met when we were 17, right? And
oh my God.
And like really kind of like shot his shot. And she was like, what? And he was like, your mom was there. It was at the Teen Vogue Future Hollywood shoot. And she was
Timmy.
Like, oh yeah, I know. So that was fun. And then also Frank Ocean. I watched most of this live stream on mute because, as you know, I can't deal with anything awkward. And I include most red carpet interviews as awkward. But I specifically unmuted it when Frank Ocean walked up because he was there with a green fake baby. Like that was his prop for the Met Gala. It was like this animatronic, very, very like Renesmee core fake green baby. And I was like, I need to know more about this baby and why he has it. So I unmuted it and he walks up and I'm like, great, he's going to explain it. Kiki's like, tell me about the baby. And he goes, you know, movie magic, America. And then like, he totally moves on. I was like, no, no, we need more. Explain the baby. And then she kind of asked about it again. And he's like, I love you. Oh, I'm so starstruck right now. And he's starstruck too. And like points to the baby.
Oh my
and I'm
God.
Like, this is great. This is great. I'm so glad that you left Kiki Palmer. But again, like I really need you to explain the baby. So that didn't happen. And he just like fangirled over Kiki. And I just think she should just be a red heart carpet host and a talk show host.
Yeah,
and she should replace Ellen and Ryan Seacrest and anyone else in the world who has the job to talk to celebrities.
Yeah.
Because she does a great job.
Agreed.
Yeah. I also wanted to say that round two of the Met Gala is actually happening in May. So obviously this was in September. Usually it happens first Monday in May. It's happening on May 2nd, but they're not changing the theme. They're doing round two of America, a lexicon of fashion, which was such a shitty theme. And I just don't know why we're not changing it.
But do you think this will make celebrities who were criticized for actually having no inspiration and were open about having no inspiration be like, okay, let's get my shit together. Also, you see everybody else's look. So now actually probably the less creative people, Hailey Bieber, could look at actually people who did it really well and be like, oh, I'm just going to basically take that. Maybe that's
like
unfair.
A mulligan. Yeah, like a redo. I mean, I get it. But I think part of the problem is like there was no visual component of the theme that sort of everyone could stick to. It was like some people just did American designers. So like that could look like literally anything. Mm-hmm. And like technically they're on theme. Other people did like old Hollywood tributes. Other people did red, white, and blue. And like there were a lot of ways to be on theme, but then like it, no one had like a consistent visual identity.
Yeah.
And so it just looked like no one was on theme, even if a lot of people were. And it just was like very scattered to me. Well, so I just didn't love it.
Yeah, half of the people who showed up still thought the theme was camp. Like, I'm not, like, Kim came in, like, that all black thing where she, her whole face was covered.
What the fuck is that? Yeah.
And then someone else I saw had, well, a lot of people did the red, white, and blue, which I think is camp. And then someone had, like, this whole, like, tax the rich.
That was AOC. Like,
dress. AOC did a tax the rich dress.
Oh, sorry, girl. I love you, but, like, also, like, all right.
Yeah, there's been a lot of backlash to that one. Yeah.
She should get shit for that because that was pretty, that was an ugly dress. It was camp and it was just like, okay, all right. We know, we get it. We know your platform.
Honestly,
you.
I'm anti anything written on dresses. There were a lot of people that had, they always are. Like
me too.
Freaking Cara Delevingne had like pegged the patriarchy.
Oh my God.
I'm like, stop putting written things on
it's
your
so
dresses.
Bad.
This
it's
is
so
not
bad.
Hollister.
It's possibly the worst.
Like you don't have to write things.
It looks so cheap.
So I'm against that just as a rule.
One thing
no matter what it says.
Helped me because I looked at a lot of people. Granted, first, I'm sorry to bring her up twice. I'll bring her up a third time later. But Hailey Bieber truly had no inspiration for that. Like she did not, this idea did not come from anywhere, her plain black dress. However, watching Diet Prada's Instagram stories, and then there's obviously a million articles from Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, Now that have come out that have given context and some background of these dresses or whatever these celebrities were wearing was very helpful because there some were more nuanced, I guess, than I gave them original credit for. So if you want, go seek that out to like, you know, give you some background to these things. But lastly, really shitty, but obviously Hailey Bieber and Justin Bieber were rocking the carpet. And I guess some Selena Gomez fans camped outside of the Met and we're chanting Selena at them, which just is like, I can't believe they're still dealing with that shit. Like, I kind of feel bad, but also it's like, I don't know. These fans think that Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez are like truly meant to be together.
Oh my God.
Wild.
She was in sunglasses. You couldn't really see, you know, everyone was like, oh, Hailey Bieber was crying later. She was so affected. Well, we don't know. But this went viral on TikTok, like this clip of them hearing these chants. And of all people, Ireland Baldwin, so Hailey's cousin, commented on this TikTok and was like, they're one of the happiest and most in love couples I've ever gotten the chance to be around. They don't care about them with a laughing face emoji. And I'm like, I feel like they, if they really didn't care, you, their cousin, wouldn't be saying anything. It just felt a little embarrassing that she was like, caught, like, I don't know, defending them. They don't need to be defended. It's just crazy fans. But
yeah, that's true.
Let's move on.
Also,
oh, go ahead.
Selena is happy without them. Sorry. I just.
Right. Happiest without them. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like no one cares anymore. So yeah. Like, move on.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Speaking of moving on, the next category is our mashup, Not Worth the Tea, This Week in Social Media, and Relationship News. Amelia.
Wow. Okay. So, not to revive the whole shower. Do they shower? Do they not shower debate? But Ashton Kutcher visited College Game Day because I think he went to Iowa for a little bit, but he's from Iowa. And actually, my parents both went to Iowa. Not that anyone needs to know this, but so my dad was really sad. Iowa State lost. But anyway, so Ashton Kutcher visited College Game Day, which is like that huge show that they pull out and they're like, okay, we got all the students on camera and we're going to nationally televise this. And Ashton Kutcher was there trying to explain like one of his venture capitalists, like wine companies. And you can hear in one of the clips, all these college kids chanting, take a shower at him. And it's so, and he gets rattled and he loses his train of thought because he like literally doesn't know what to say next. And it's just like, oh my God. Oh my God. So that made me laugh. But also, yes. Also, it was sad. It was sad because it's just like, you know what? He's just trying to enjoy his time. And you guys have to go
chanting take a things at people.
Shower. Yeah, exactly. That's the main takeaway. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Tough. Very tough.
Yeah. Next one.
Oh, yes. And then also, more importantly, Britney Spears is engaged to Sam Asghari, her boyfriend. Very exciting. And she deleted her Instagram soon after just to be like, I'm taking some time off of social media. I want to celebrate my engagement, which good for her. And then there was a really funny comment on her engagement. I think it was a video from Octavia Spencer. And it was something like sign a prenup. And that was funny, which, you know, maybe she probably should. But people were like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, oh, she's commenting. But then I guess Octavia then posted another her own post to Instagram. And she was like, a few days back, they announced their engagement. And I made a joke. And my intention was to make them laugh and not cause pain. It's just like, she didn't need to do that, but she did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. And I guess Sam responded saying like, it's fine. It's all good. Yeah. So, yeah.
We got to log off as a society.
Right, exactly.
We must log off.
Next piece of news is kind of random, but the show is slowly reeling me in with each cast member that they keep adding. It's the Addams Family remake on Netflix, but it's focusing on the daughter, Wednesday, who is going to be played by Jenna Ortega, my favorite from Jane the Virgin, and she's also in You. Great in both. But this made the news again. Their casting news has been coming out over the last couple of months. Catherine Zeta-Jones is going to be Morticia. Louise Guzman is going to be Gomez Adams, the two parents. But then Kate, our tall queen, Gwendolyn Christie, is going to be in it. She's going to be the principal, I believe, of the academy that Wednesday goes to school in. And I just got to rep her while we can. She was Brienne of Tarth in Game of Thrones. And I have not seen her since. So
is this live action?
You know, Amelia, that's a really good question. I didn't look into that.
Oh, I'm
not
sorry.
Sure. But I will, and I will let you know.
Right?
Is it? Update, it is live action. Kate just Googled it. Okay, next one. The most cursed of all.
Yeah. This was like, okay, so if you arrived in the first 2 hours of the Met Gala on Monday, apologies, because no one was talking about you. Everyone was talking about Nicki Minaj, who felt the need to explain why she wasn't going to the Met Gala. It's because she was unvaccinated. And then she felt the need to explain why she was unvaccinated and dropped some anecdotal evidence that has since become like this huge problem. And her tweet said that her cousin in Trinidad refuses to get the vaccine because his friend, quote, his testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding.
Oh, my God.
Everyone was like, I'm just saying, do your own research, which like is fucking insane. How many months has it been? What kind of research are you doing, Nicki Minaj? Anyway.
This is like a Snopes article. Yeah, sorry.
Unreal. So, and obviously this was like an anecdote that she was just sharing. But when you have 22.6 million Twitter followers and a lot of people are still anti-vax, it becomes a problem. So it has become this huge thing. I'm on the CNN website right now. And the Trinidad and Tobago Health Minister, Terence Dayal Singh, on Wednesday officially came out and was like, this is a false statement. Here's what he said. One of the reasons why we could not respond yesterday in real time to Ms. Minaj is that we had to check and make sure that what she was claiming was either true or false. Unfortunately, we wasted so much time yesterday running down this false claim. Dr. Fauci also commented on it. He said, I'm not blaming her for anything, but she should be thinking twice about propagating information that really has no basis except as a one-off anecdote. And that's not what science is all about. Also, this is so fucking stupid because she said that she's going to get vaccinated to go on tour.
Right.
So like what? Like just say that you aren't vaccinated. You're not going to the Met Gala, or just say that you're not going to the Met Gala. Like we did not need. And she has been like retweeting.
Yeah. She's still going. Yeah.
On Fox News. Like Piers Morgan was trending because of his involvement in this. It just has become this like huge, unbelievable thing. And I just can't believe we're still talking about it. And it's
so
like
bad.
Just get vaccinated. Just don't listen to Nicki Minaj as your expert on the vaccine.
I can't believe you have to clarify that.
Insanity. Really cursed. Yes. Okay, Liz, please wrap up this category.
I was going to say, I feel like we should just completely move on and cleanse our palates and move right to Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Thoughts?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, sure.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All in one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Okay, let's do cringe mode. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, 2018. Fucking classic, even though I just watched it for the first time. Loved it. Kate, what happens in this movie?
Great movie. Okay, so Meryl Streep has died. Donna is dead. And things are sad on the island. Amanda Seyfried is opening the hotel in her mom's honor. Turns out she's pregnant. And she basically, the whole movie is flashing back to Donna first coming to the island, meeting the three guys, sleeping with the three guys. And it's flashing back and forth between that and her daughter and sort of like these parallels of them kind of trying to find themselves and their identity on this island and with this hotel. So that's basically
nicely
the gist
done
of it.
Yeah.
That may be my shortest explanation of all time. I may have left some stuff out, but lots of songs, you know, same characters. Meryl shows up at the end for the baptism, kind of like as this like specter who makes us cry. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So should we get into the highlights?
Lovely. Yeah, Amelia, take it away.
Wow. Yes. Had never seen this movie either. And I loved it. I love the addition of Andy Garcia and Cher. That was really fun. I for some reason, I knew Cher was coming because I'd seen the trailer and she's like, but I didn't know Andy Garcia was coming. And that was fun. He Kate's wasn't really... What?
At the share.
That was such a perfect share impression.
Oh, thank
like,
you. It was
no
subtle,
words.
But it was there. Yeah. But I love that. And I love that they, I mean, she referenced, or I guess Amanda Seyfried's character referenced early on. She was like, oh, we don't talk about South America because my grandma had a bad relationship there. And then he talked about South America, being from South America. And then it was like, oh my God, they were each other's long lost love and now they're together. And so I don't know. I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
Incredible. Andy Garcia is just giving us such gold and Cher too. But he, first of all, he just like has this great beard and like this just like very like raw, like sexual.
Okay.
And then he is he is like sending at, especially when he first meets Christine Baranski and Julie Walters characters, and they're just like totally like on the floor. And Christine Baranski's character is like, have him washed and sent to my tent. And I just love that, like, they just such like understand their audience for these movies that they have added Cher, but like are like, who can we get that like everyone watching this movie will be like, wow, incredible. Yeah. And it's just, they just go with Andy Garcia and it's so good. Also, speaking of Cher, I saw this movie in theaters. I do not know why, but I did. And first of all, just like an incredibly gay viewing experience. It was like a matinee in Hollywood, like a Sunday. And people literally broke into applause when Cher arrived in the movie. And then again, when she started singing, only time they clapped throughout the entire film, which tells you something about the audience. But she sings Fernando, and like literally like the whole theater broke into applause. So
she did kill that again, number.
Yes. Yeah. And they just know their audience. I love that they were like, how can we level this movie up? For the people that we want to see it. And yeah, they're like, funny. Cher and Andy Garcia are in love.
Yeah.
And that's it. That does it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Also, I just want to say, thank goodness that they weren't like prideful and that they decided to add in some songs from the first film. Just because they used up pretty much all of the best. I'm not saying the other songs that they added in this film weren't good, but just the ones from the first Mamma Mia are like the best, the cream of the crop ABBA songs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just didn't really want to sit through a 2-hour movie with B-list ABBA songs. So I was really excited when they...
Thank God for those, yeah.
Right, broke out. Like, I think it was Waterloo, and I was like, okay, thank God. They're using the old songs.
Yeah,
so that
was I know. Good. I'll talk about this later, but the first song, When I Kissed the Teacher, and that was the first song in the movie, I was like, oh, shit, it's going to be like this. And then, no, turned into a freaking classic. Yeah. Next highlight, Kate.
There's a scene in this movie that, and it's, I believe it's Dancing Queen, right? Is this the big like Dancing Queen reprise?
I think so.
When there are all these, it's like there were all these memes of it after this movie came out where it was like a character from Dunkirk like lifting his binoculars to see the ships coming towards Dunkirk. And then they cut in this scene from this movie where all of these ships are bringing Harry and Bill, which is Colin Firth and Stellan Skarsgård, to the island, like as a surprise to make this like big hotel opening. But they're like looking through the binoculars and there are all these people like dancing on the boats. Like Harry and Bill are doing the Titanic pose, which like, again, it's like fucking Colin Firth and Stellan Skarsgård, just like these incredibly serious actors usually who have made the time to make this fucking sequel and like are just all in again, which I just appreciate so much.
Yeah.
But it's just a great number. It's like the scale of it is really great. You got all these ships and all these people dancing and like doing these choreographed numbers. And it's just great. It's just great time.
I want to give a little shout out to young Bill. So young Stellan Skarsgård. I didn't know how the casting would go because, to be honest, young Harry, Hugh Skinner is a little underwhelming to turn into Colin Firth. And then young Sam as well. But shout out to young Bill because... He can, that was good. And I think we'll get into that later.
He did what he had to do.
And if we're all deciding that he probably is the father, I'm like, he really sold me on it. I'd be like, I would be happy if he was really Amanda Seyfried's dad.
Yeah. Time was tough to him, but in his early days, he had it going on.
Indeed. And then more generally, to be honest, I was a little shaky on this film in the first 20-ish minutes. No shade to Lily James, but coming off of the high that is Amanda Seyfried in Mamma Mia 1, I was iffy on it. However, this movie completely sold me. I know, Amelia, you'll talk about this, but like you think you're better than the sequel and you're just not. It like really wins everybody over who watches it. And I really like how I know, Kate, you mentioned, but like they start not time-lapsing, but kind of like splicing Amanda Seyfried and Lily James, kind of like the whatever, young version of Meryl, in all of these parallel experiences. And it's really lovely and was a really nice touch and then eventually got me quite emotional, but we can talk about that later. So let's do lowlights now, Kate.
I mean, this whole movie is Donna in a series of days traveling overseas by herself, going from guy to guy, trusting so many strange men with her life and her belongings and her body. And she is just too trusting of random men.
Indeed.
If you are traveling alone, please do not follow her example. Do not go places alone with these guys, no matter how attractive they are.
Right.
I don't know, man. They were pretty hot.
That was Amelia's note right after this.
you're forgetting the most important describer aspect of them, that they're hot.
Yeah, that's true. You get a little flexibility there. But it just made me a little worried. I was like, wow, she's really trusting. And also, girl, please practice safe sex.
Right.
It is a lot of guys in very few days, which is fine. Do you? Again, like, they're all very hot. But again, the fact you clearly think all of them could be the father of your child. So, like, please be more responsible.
Okay, yes. Yeah. I guess I did not pay close enough attention to this when Amanda Seyfried in the first movie was reading the diary entries. And perhaps I bet she did say, like, it was one night, blah, blah. I just didn't realize the expedited timeline of these rendezvous. they happen basically back to back to back over 3 days. And I guess it makes sense because then it is truly puzzling and a mystery who could be the father. I guess I just thought it was like over a summer or over like a month maybe, but no, it was really basically 3 nights roughly in a row.
Which, yeah, it gets a little iffy with how much time she spends with Sam.
Yeah.
Which is the last guy. Cause like you get the sense that they've kind of had a couple days together of like him staying with her, but at most it's like a week.
Right. So, and then the other two guys, it does feel like it's just the one time. So,
right.
Yeah.
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 Hard go to off, say. Girl. Do it. Whatever.
It's true. It's true. It just made me a little bit stressed.
Yeah.
My second low light is that I just miss Meryl. They killed her off for this movie. She didn't want to do it, which is fair. She shows up right at the very end. They have this very pretty song that we'll get into in a minute.
Love that.
At the baptism. And then she shows up for the credits, which we'll also talk about later. But I just could have done with like even like 25% more Meryl. Like one more flashback, one more song, like something a little more lighthearted. I just missed her. She's so fun.
Agreed.
And she committed so much to the first movie. And like everyone else really committed again to this movie. And I just feel like it could have been better if there was just a little bit more of
100% agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what didn't commit was their really poor use of green screen, which kind of was a... continued from the first film where it's like you're looking out on the outside setting of Hotel Donna and the sunset like doesn't even move. It's just like it's so fake, but I don't care. Whatever. I just had to throw that in there.
Yeah,
it's true.
Lastly, for me, not to be a downer, but this movie was just so much sadder than I actually signed up for and realized. First movie, fucking pure joy for all 90 minutes of it. This movie made me cry multiple times and it was really... like made me be much more introspective than I wanted to be watching Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, because I started thinking about the passing of time and between the, like, you know, having experiences. I really can't think about it too much. I cried last night watching most of it. I cried again this morning. I teared up talking to Kate about it again today. So I just got to move on. But this movie is really actually quite sad if you buy into it, of course. But very poignant at the same time. So let's
see. I'm sorry you went through that list.
I was really upset. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
What has
Remember when Liz cried at Cats? You just never know.
We have to start talking about this. I feel the tears spurting in my eyes. Okay.
Oh.
Let's talk about what has aged the best and the worst. Amelia.
I would say, okay, it's interesting because I was watching this and I was like, Lily James, in my opinion, looks too washed out with this color blonde. However, I know she can pull off a much lighter blonde because she looks exactly like Pamela Anderson, which I guess is the power of makeup because they look nothing alike. And this was really just an excuse for me to talk about how excited I am for Pam and Tommy. I saw some more photos come out and it's amazing how they are able to transform her into Pamela Anderson. I mean, it's like, what? I guess they're kind of trying with Sebastian Stan, but maybe try a little harder. But
we're fully talking about Pam. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Okay, no, but that's all I want to say. I'm sorry, but I'm really excited. So.
Also, shout out Lily James.
Age the best her career.
Yeah.
Thriving.
Yes. Yeah. Truly. Yeah, yeah.
I also want her. I thought honestly she was a stronger singer, like musical performer, than maybe she was an actor at times. So put her in another movie musical. We're making a ton of them these days.
Yes.
I love how she was like whipping her hair around. Like she was having a grand old time. Yeah. I know. It was really fun. I thought she was a good dancer too. I was like, okay, girl.
Agreed.
Get it.
Agreed.
Speaking of careers, the worst is none of these younger guys have done much of anything since this movie came out in 2018. This is the kind of movie that can launch if you're, you know, charming and young and like a new guy on the scene. You have one great musical number, like that can get you going. That can get your career started.
Yeah.
And none of these three guys who played like the younger dads, they've just really fizzled out.
Yeah.
That's
young
tough
Harry was in Fleabag, but looking
he plays
much
like
differently.
The lame ex. Yeah. Like who she doesn't like.
Yeah.
And then Jeremy Irvine was like in Warhorse forever ago.
He was like the lead in Warhorse.
Yeah. But then like he hasn't done anything other than this since that. Yeah. So, and honestly, I think he was like the worst of the three younger guys. So,
I think I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of sad. Nothing is really. Yeah. I guess rooting for them. Rooting for young Bill.
Yeah.
Rooting for his career.
You know who has aged the best, you guys? Freaking Dominic Cooper got his time in the sun. He had a song much more in his range than the first movie. I know you guys disagree. I think he killed it. I thought he was such a good singer in this one. He got one song to kill it all and he did it. And I was really proud of him.
Yeah.
I do respectfully disagree, but that's fine.
Whatever.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Thank you. You can suck it. Let's do MVP, Amelia.
Oh my gosh. The MVP was whoever, I guess at Universal, or really, I guess they probably have to sign off, decided a sequel would be a good idea. I thought it wouldn't be a good idea. I don't know why I thought that. It was pretty naive of me. I doubted them, but they were right. They had the instincts. Yeah. That's why they're a very successful movie producer and I'm not. this movie made a bunch of money. And I honestly, after watching it, I was like, will there be a Mamma Mia 3? Oh. And I was Googling that. And there might be. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm really hoping for it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just like, don't underestimate the power of Mamma Mia.
Agreed.
And you know,
I'm going
to
slot mine in right now.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the power of ABBA. It will sell you every fucking time. I do
every
not
time.
Know that any other band could have done these two movies and sold me in the way that it did. Like every time I was unsure, then it gets to the chorus. I'm like, oh yeah. And I start singing along. Yeah, like, it just gets you whether you want it to or not.
Seriously. And afterwards I was Googling ABBA's comeback. So again,
there
amazing.
You go.
They just do a great job.
Yeah.
You're right.
My MVP is Lily James. I just think she does this brand of like very irrepressibly joyful characters really well. Mm-hmm. She just always, and at first I actually just watched her in something else. And I think it was The Pursuit of Love on Amazon Prime, which was fun. But she's another like character that's like living life and like always happy. And then she cries and then she cries for a little bit because the world is really sad. But then she's happy again. And like everyone, like she walks into a room and everyone loves her. And there's just like this specific brand of character that I feel like she always does. Like she did in Downton Abbey and in this and, you know, she was Cinderella. And like she just always has kind of these characters like you can't help but love and just like are very happy with the world no matter what comes at them. Mm-hmm. She's just great at it. And it's like why at first I was like, I'd like to see her do something else and I would. But it's also like she crushes this kind of character every time. Yeah. So why not?
All right. Let's do lightning round. What was your guys' favorite song or performance, Amelia?
I loved when they came in with the boats, Dancing Queen. I thought it was like, oh my God, I need to rewatch this again and again. And I rewatched it again and again and again. It's so lovely and happy. And then I also really like Cher and Andy Garcia singing Fernando.
Yes.
Thought that was fun.
Yes.
Yeah. It's great. Also, the best part about Fernando is that they clearly shoehorned every single thing about their characters so that they could sing that song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like the culmination of like 20 minutes of plotting.
Yeah. Yep. They did what they had to do.
Exactly.
They did, to fit that song in. Yeah. And it was worth it. My favorite was the Super Trooper credit sequence. So at the very end of the movie.
Oh my God. Yeah.
They just like cast aside all plot and all sort of like constraints of reality and all sort of like very Broadway. All the characters come out in these like disco outfits and they all sing Super Trooper together and like Meryl Streep's there even though her character's dead, like, you know, old Colin Firth is dancing with young Harry, old Bill's dancing with young Bill, and like nothing else matters. It's just like the actors sort of performing it all together, and it's just really fun and like really theatrical. And I just think every movie should end that way, no matter the plot or the genre. Like every movie all the actors should come out and just like sing a song together at the end. And that should just be how every movie ever ends going forward.
Yes.
Agreed. I promise I will not talk about this for too long, but one of the last numbers, My Love, My Life, is when Meryl does come back as this angelic presence while Amanda Seyfried's baby is getting baptized. And it cuts back and forth to Lily James getting her daughter baptized, aka what? Oh, are you sold on this, Kate?
I'm just sad.
That's your sad face? Oh, good. Okay, good. It was so fucking sad. Oh my gosh. It was just, you know, I can't really talk about it. Anyway, watch it if you want. It's at the very end of the movie. And Meryl Streep killed it. And that's why I know we wanted more from her, because she was just so good and it was so emotional. And yeah, anyway. Let's do worst song.
Call your mom. I know. Call your mom today, you guys.
What is the worst song in your guys' opinion?
Not to be rude, but the I've Been Waiting For You, I was just like, okay, yeah, we get it. You're going to have a baby. Like, great.
I forgot when that was.
No offense. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I agree, because it's when Amanda Seyfried's like, I've been waiting my whole life to perform with Donna and whatever her group is called.
The Dynamos,
Donna and the Dynamos. And she gets up and like in the middle of this party is like, I'm going to perform with like Christine and Julie Walters. And then they do like this kind of slow song.
Yeah. Right?
It's like when you get up and do a ballad at karaoke. Everyone's like, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. Exactly.
The night is over. Crowd pleaser. This is your only chance.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I thought Dominic Cooper's song was a skip. Sorry. That's
so
a no for
rude.
Me.
Oh. Whatever. Yeah, I thought When I Kissed a Teacher was a skip. That was actually bad. I did not.
Kind of a rough start. It was a rough start. Yeah. But they picked it up after that.
Yeah. What's the best cameo, Amelia?
Oh my God. Fernando's brother showed up and I was like, oh my, is that the Dos Equis guy? The most interesting man in the world? And guess what? I looked it up and it is. His brother is the most interesting man in the world. The Dos Equis guy. So that was exciting for me.
And he like ends up with Christine Baranski. And the most interesting couple in the world for
I
sure.
Love that. Yes.
Agreed.
Really great choice. I don't know whose idea that was to be like, what if we got the most interesting man in the world? But they're a genius. Oh. This is not a cameo, but I just needed a place to shout out the girl who plays young Christine Baranski. It's Jessica Keenan-Wynn, because she crushed it. There's something about her smile and like the way that, I mean, no one in the world can imitate Christine Baranski. That's why she is Christine Baranski. But they show them together also at the end, side by side. And it was like uncanny. And she was just really funny and did a great job. And I also have never seen her anywhere else. So I just thought she crushed it.
The way she speaks even is identical. Yeah. It's crazy.
Really funny.
Of course, I'm giving it to Meryl because she got me hysterically crying. Okay, let's do FMK. You guys know what that is. Young Bill, Young Harry, and Young Sam. Amelia.
We've all changed. So last time, we all mostly agreed to kill Bill, to marry Colin Firth, and to sleep with Pierce Brosnan, right?
Pierce Brosnan, but yeah.
Okay, close enough. We all killed Bill, which has very much changed.
Another
this time.
Great movie, yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry. I said F Young Bill. He had a great stage presence. And I said marry Young Sam. I just love Pierce Brosnan. I mean, it's like if I know that I'm gonna get that in like 40 years, then
foresight.
I'm sorry.
Foresight. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then, you know, kill Young Harry. He was just so hesitant about everything. Mm-hmm. I loved him, but I was also like, all right.
But Young Harry would be like painfully loyal. I didn't really know or expect that his character was like going to go off and be this like little puppy dog that follows her around. And then Sam cheats, but maybe that was his youth. I don't know. So I think I'm going to kill Sam, maybe. Young Sam for
now.
Okay,
marry Harry. I love that for you.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure. Why not? And this actually leads into our next question, which is which boy has the best solo song. So each boy obviously gets a song. And again, like we said, Young Harry. So he has kind of a tough angle. He's the first boy that she meets. He is basically like, I just met you, but I need you to have sex with me because I'm a virgin and you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And like basically just like talks her into it and doesn't seem like she has a very good time. Like it's fine. So that's a tough angle. However, I think he has the best song, which is Waterloo.
That's
and
true.
He's so fun. And he like dances around this like little cafe. And he does a great job. So I was like, props to you, young Harry. You did the best you could with what you got, which is a tough storyline.
Yeah.
But you killed your solo song. And the other guy's songs just weren't as good.
Yeah. I think we all agree on that. Okay. Lastly, in this lightning round, has your guys' opinion changed? Who do you think is Sophie's father now, having watched the second one? Amelia.
Here's a controversial twist. Maybe it's the band leaders, okay? The guy with the band that from the... What, and then who is... It's like, so she's on this like little island in Greece and there's like a band there and the guy's mom is the woman who owns what will become Hotel Donna. And she's also like... I mean, I understand she's like a very helpful older woman and stuff, but she's like, they're helping her give birth to Amanda Seyfried's character. So, and I'm just like... I don't know, man. I mean, it seems like if Donna is boning every guy, you know, she meets within a 1 mile radius, why wouldn't she bone this band
leader? This is an interesting take, Amelia.
I don't know. Maybe that will be.
Speaking of like raw sexual energy, the band leader did have something going on. He had a lot of like intense eye contact.
Sure.
And he definitely like would have shot his shot.
I love when Kate gets like this. Yeah.
And maybe that will be Mamma Mia 3.
Oh, okay.
Listen, there's someone to pitch this to in Hollywood for sure.
There is.
I have to say that if we break it down, I know we all thought it was Bill. And it could be Bill because he comes back and he's like the last of the three guys that she sleeps with after she's rebounding from Sam. Mm-hmm. However, if we look at it, she clearly slept with Sam multiple times because they're like together the first night. And then again, it like clearly implies that they've spent a couple days together. Like he's in her bed. She's had a change of clothes. She's out getting oranges. Like there's kind of a montage that implies that they've spent some time together, at least a couple days. So like, if you just break it down to the numbers, she slept with Harry once. She slept with Bill once, as far as we know. And then like multiple days with Sam. So like the numbers favor Sam.
See, I thought that she slept with Bill multiple times because she was like getting over her heartache.
That's what I
thought. So she was on a boat.
That's what I thought
for several days. But
and
I don't know.
What else is there to do? That's a fair point.
True.
You're right. Okay. So it could still be Bill. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're undecided.
I wish there was a Mamma Mia 3 that we could cover next week.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. Maybe someday. Someday.
Maybe we'll do like a good back to school movie next week. I don't really know what that is. Ooh. Or like a something set in a school.
We'll brainstorm.
We'll see. Okay. Let's wrap this up. Let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Kate.
Guys, I'm so confused. Why did Kacey Musgraves' new album release fizzle out so much? I feel like for the past 2 years, every time we saw anything about Kacey Musgraves or her personal life, people would be like, but where's the album? Where's the new Kacey Musgraves album? Oh, it's going to be the divorce album. Oh, I'm so glad she has had this heartbreak. It sucks, but the album's going to slap. And like, there have been so many viral tweets about waiting for this album. And now the album's out and no one's talking about it. And it's good. Like, it's, I mean, it's not amazing. I think it's good. Mm-hmm. But I just like honestly forgot it was coming. And it just seems like it, like her YouTube views are really low and like people don't seem to be talking about it or listening to it. And I just am confused about what happened to the buzz. Is it just because like we're just not in the mood as a society?
Maybe.
Like what happened? I don't know.
It's a really good question because
it's unanswerable.
I completely agree. I listened to it only because I had a really long drive and it like appeared and I was like, oh shit, that's today. Okay. And she performed at the VMAs. Didn't hear jack about that. I didn't really know what happened. And I was one of the people that was really, really highly anticipating it too.
Me too. Yeah, I know. I've been listening to it and like it's good. It's like good fall, kind of like easy listening vibes. But yeah, it just seems like people aren't that into it. So
did she have her, you know, when she did that Christmas special?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Was that on Hulu or Amazon Prime?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
But see, she was like a big deal for a while there.
Well,
like she had all those guests. And like, then I just don't know what happened.
Her newest, like, I don't know, video release of this new album was on Paramount Plus and like.
Ooh, tough.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, like I have it, but I like am going to cancel it tomorrow. So.
Yeah, I just don't. It made me just like a series of kind of errors like that, where like just kind of the wrong choices were made. I really don't know.
Yeah,
But I was kind of bummed out about it. I was like excited for like the new era of Kacey, but apparently no one else is.
It's a mystery.
That's too bad.
My question: I kind of want a beverage check-in. We did this a couple weeks ago when we were trying to get free drinks from Poppy. Turns out didn't work. So damn we it. Just had a 3-minute ad for nothing. But I just want like a beverage check-in because Bella Hadid now is the co-founder of a new drink brand called Kin Euphorics. This one's a little bit more out there, I think, than like, oh, it's got probiotics or apple cider vinegar. This one claims to help people focus, de-stress, and improve all-around well-being. It's the first, quote-unquote, brain care beverage. So the benefits are you can enhance clarity, stimulate creative freedom, and drive focus so you can find your center. A lot of just mysterious claims in here. Amelia, you are the beverage expert. Do you have thoughts on this brand? What's your current like fave beverage? Just give us a check-in.
Oh man. Well, you know, I have like an Instagram tab where I really love trying new beverages and I also really am into these claims. And even though, you know, I was gonna say 9 times out of 10 they don't work, but like 10 times out of 10 they don't work, but I trick myself into thinking that they work so that they kind of do work.
Yeah.
But mainly I'm usually sold on the packaging. And let me say, this packaging on this freaking beverage is beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's got a really nice font and then it's like kind of an ombre color. Yeah. And it's like,
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. And it's like called Kin Spritz Rising Flow. I feel like that
scene in American Psycho where they're talking about the business cards. I feel like we're like, ooh, tasteful. The packaging is so tasteful. Sorry. Anyway, continue.
No, it looks so great.
It's a very attractive can.
It's a beautiful, the can is like skinny and tiny and it's just like, God, it looks so good. And like she's out here posing on a horse with a giant can. It's just like, yeah, I do want to take a picture of this can.
Can I ask you a question, Amelia? She's got two flavors. One is the social energy Kin Spritz and one is the Inner Peace Light Wave. So the Kin Spritz, think brain power beverage from the future. Okay. Then you got the Light Wave Inner Peace one. Think naked forest bathing at midnight.
Whoa.
Which one are you going to try? Which one's more enticing to you as a beverage connoisseur?
My God. Oh my God. See, that's why I've like set aside an amount of money every month that I can spend on these dumb.
My God, you have a beverage budget?
Well, no, I don't. I don't. But like, I know to like not, you know, I'll be like shopping online and be like, well, I'm not going to buy that because I need, you know, to buy like a 6-pack of Poppy. I like the one where it's like not the go out and be social one, the other one.
The inner peace, the naked forest bathing at midnight. Okay, I see you.
Right. Great. Yeah, I'm into that. Sure.
Okay. So, well, you can buy it for $56 for a 16 pack or an 8-pack for $30.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money.
There's also a subscription service. Anyway, look into it. Tell us what you think if you'd like it.
Yeah, you know what? I always do the thing where you go to like locations on the website and then you can like find like a single beverage.
Right.
Like, you know,
that's how you got to do it if you want to just try things.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So,
all right, keep us posted, I guess.
Yeah. Please. We'll do.
All right, lastly.
Yes, to wrap things up, I had several questions throughout this.
Yeah, I know
thing.
This has changed like 4 times.
I was like, I've never seen this one before. Okay.
I'm sorry.
A lot of questions this week.
It's a puzzling week.
I have to filter.
Okay, sorry. Keep going.
I just want to know why do we think Chicago the musical is the one that gets all the famous residencies versus like Mamma Mia? Why doesn't that get like, because there's always like, who's doing Roxy Hart this year or this 6 months, you know?
Can you list off a couple people?
I don't like Chicago.
Oh, what? Oh.
It's overrated. I totally agree with this.
Are you joking?
Chicago is like so meh.
Kate.
No, I, yeah.
Have you heard of a little song called Cell Block Tango? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I have. And I guess that's like, everyone knows that. And that's why, right? Is it's like kind of sexy. It's like well-known.
Sure.
It's accessible.
Well, right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm pissing.
Mamma Mia. Have you heard of a little song called Dancing Queen?
Well, exactly. But okay. So here are some of the performers
who please.
Have taken to the stage on Broadway for the role of Roxy Hart. Lisa Rinna.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Brooke Shields, Melora Hardin, Ashley Simpson.
Are they
Melanie
all singing
Griffith?
Amelia?
Yes, I think so. And I swear to God, Emma Stone did it.
Emma Stone
Chicago
did it too. Yeah.
Residency.
So did Rumor Willis too, right? Or was the other Willis?
So it's like they're filtering these people through. And so they can have like, this is the person who's performing Roxy
Is it like
Hart
an easy
year.
Role? Like, do you just have to do like a little salsa and like kind of do the thing where you say a lot of your songs? You know, like
maybe
I think it's
definitely
a sexy role. That probably appeals to that.
There's no like big like I dreamed a dream. You know, right. Like you
there's
don't have to be able to
There is no I dreamed a dream. That's true.
Really sing
because that'll get you every single time.
That will.
Wait, should we do Chicago next week?
Ooh, that could be
okay,
fun.
Sure, yeah.
Oh. We're a little musical kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kate, I've actually never seen the movie version.
What the hell?
I haven't either.
What? You guys.
I know the music, but
wow, this is
it's
horrifying.
An iconic role. This is why you don't like it, Kate, is because you don't understand it. Okay.
All right.
All right. See you next
we'll
week.
Report back next week.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Kaya, our lovely producer. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.